Well, a couple of back-to-back wins for the Jays, and you Savage with a performance that not many ball fans will forget last night. And the Dodgers bats nowhere to be seen since Shohei Ohtani had his last home run in the seventh inning of Game 3. And back home, a couple cracks at it for the Blue Jays tomorrow night or Saturday night. But, man, they're just looking great. And you can listen to the World Series action, of course, right here on 980 CJME. 6 o'clock tomorrow as well. Hey, I just came across this. It's a poll. 60% say they've had at least one paranormal experience. 16% have actually seen a spirit or a ghost.
Don't move. It won't hurt you. Ah!
Slime me.
I feel so funky.
Yeah, 31% said they were good ghosts when they did see one, not evil ones. Well, look, my next guest calls herself a paranormal investigator who can help you investigate your own paranormal experience if you so desire. Her name is Teresa McKnight and is here with me now. Welcome to the show, Teresa. How about a bit of a description of what it is you do?
Well, what I do is, well, to everybody else, it is paranormal. It is not normal. I do a lot of different things in the paranormal realm as well as before the paranormal realm.
Have you had training in this? Or did you just watch Ghostbusters over and over as a kid and thought, you know what, that's going to be me. Hop in a station wagon, a jumpsuit, and a fancy blaster, and away I go.
It kind of started when I was quite young. I had a few paranormal experiences, and they continued to happen throughout my life. Things I could not explain, things my parents couldn't explain, things kept happening. I do feel like everybody has the potential to kind of tap into that type of thing. 99% of things can be explained away, but it's just that, like, 1% of things that can't.
Teresa McKnight is my guest. She's a paranormal investigator. What have you recently investigated? Like, give us a few examples.
Actually, just on Saturday, I went to investigate the museum in Grenfell. There was a few different spirits in there that we were kind of communicating with. It's definitely haunted.
Teresa, we've seen Ghostbusters where they literally suck up the ghosts in their blaster thingy. What do you use to investigate?
Well, my favorite, my REM pod. I tend to get a lot of communication through REM pods.
Well, it's a REM pod. What does it look like? Like a stethoscope that captures sound?
No, it's actually just like a circle, little stumpy looking thing. It's got an antenna coming out of it, and then it creates an EMF field.
And are you walking around the house with that on your head?
No, we just put it down in a spot. We can ask questions and things get close to it and give us responses for our questions, or like sometimes just wants to play with the lights and sounds that come out of it.
This is so cool. It's fascinating. I think I want to do this myself here. Go with you one night. Have you had an experience that genuinely frightened you?
I did, actually. A trip I went on, family vacation we went on, and it was actually in Drumheller. We stayed at I think it was called the Econo Motel.
No, I think it was the Bates Motel, wasn't it?
Mrs. Bates.
Bates, okay. We got there and I decided to lay down on the bed. I at one point fell asleep and I woke up with the feeling of somebody choking me. And I was literally gagging, waking up.
And it was not your husband?
No, my husband was napping beside me as well. And I started like tapping my husband behind me. As soon as he sat up and turned over, it stopped. But it still took me a couple seconds to catch my breath.
Wow.
But like that was terrifying. That motel we stayed at was known to be haunted.
I am talking to a paranormal investigator, Teresa McKnight. In those moments, have you ever said out loud who's there and immediately regretted it?
Yeah, because you do get a lot of like tricksters and stuff like that as well. But a lot of times you'll get things like Satan or demonic, things you don't really want to be talking to, if you know what I mean.
Quite disturbing. So as a paranormal investigator, do they contact you for help to get rid of anything, or are you just helping them here?
All of the above, actually.
So if anyone wants to use your services, where do they find you?
You can find me right on Facebook there. That's probably the best way to contact me.
Who are you going to call?
Teresa McKnight.
You want to sing the song with me now? Ghostbusters! That was interesting. I appreciate your time.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you giving me a call.
That was fun. All right, Teresa McKnight. Thank you for your time as well. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I'm Greg Morgan, and there is a good friend of yours, Geddy Lee, right? Kevin of Rush, also a major Jays fan. Where did you meet him again?
In Scotland. Just bumped into him, just out for a walk, and there he was. Excuse me, are you Geddy Lee? Why, yes, I am.
Well, unlike you, he's a Jays fan, you're the Mariners fan, but at the same time, do you remember how this World Series began, and all we could talk about is they're such an underdog? There's a huge payroll. The Dodgers, this defending champions. And now all we're talking about is a 22-year-old pitcher that made history last night.
Trey Yusavage, 12 strikeouts and against, this incredible Dodgers lineup. He struck out every Dodger at least once, including Shohei Ohtani, who, by the way, strikes out a lot. I know there was a lot of discussion on the Green Zone about, do you intentionally walk Shohei every time? He hits a lot of home runs. But he also strikes out a lot, and you challenge him, and that's what happened last night, and it worked out well for the Jays.
Speaking of challenging, I challenge you to sing along to this guy singing the American anthem last night here. This is extraordinary vocal acrobatics. Here, his head's going to pop off now, I think. All right.
Impressive vocal range.
Okay, but we've talked about this over and over. Why do they want to change the lyrics of the Canadian anthem? It happened again last night. I'm calling him Rufus the Doofus, but this is Rufus Wainwright, who's from Montreal, by the way. So far, so good, right? Yeah. All right, Kevin, here he goes. Why? Why do you think on a national stage they find it in their hearts that they want to make a statement or change the anthem?
Yeah, and that usually is what it is, right? You have the platform, you have millions of people watching, so let's do it. I mean, I guess the question would be, is the point getting across? Is it having such an impact where we see change from, you know, some word changes?
I think we're such at a patriotic moment because of the Blue Jays right now. We're proudly singing the anthem the way it should be sung. And it's just angering fans when these guys do this. Anne Murray, huge Blue Jays fan. I know she's 80 years old. I said earlier in the show, she should be singing the national anthem.
Canadian treasure.
Yes. Yes, Anne. She's 80. She may need assistance walking out. I just saw her in an interview. She sounds lovely. She's just...
Why not Geddy Lee? Can he come and, you know, do a little rendition? How good that would that be?
Well, that would be. But
there's,
I think,
nobody more fitting.
Anne actually sang the national anthem at a previous World Series, I think, when the Jays were in it, and was the first to sing the anthem for the Jays when it was the Sky Dome. Really quick, some good news for entertainment purposes coming to the Real District. You need reasons to want to go to a concert and an event and stick around. We got one.
And it's a brand new venue that you can see right now at cjme.com. We've told you about this in the past. We know that the Semple family was going to move in there from what was before known as YQR Distilleries. And they're going to, it's an entire, rebuild. Part of the structure that's there right now will be, but this is, more or less an entirely new building. It'll have a sports bar, a lounge, a live entertainment venue. This is quite
class
the project.
Yeah. Classing it up for hopefully next December. More on that coming up with Kevin Martell. It's 6:58. Oh, those Blue Jays got a lot of fight in them, don't they? That was an amazing start to the game, of course. We just could not believe it how quickly the game just gave us chills when Davis just nailed it there.
Game five. drive is underway with a fly ball to deep left. Gone! The first pitch of the ball game. And Davis Schneider has hit it out.
And then, of course, Vladdy comes along. He does the same thing. And the reaction back in Toronto at a sold-out Rogers Center. Just watching the big screen. They're going nuts in Toronto. It's 2-0 instantly for the Jays. And Trey, you savage, just a historic evening for that rookie. He followed those home runs by immediately retiring Will Smith, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani, and that was just the first inning. But Trey allowing one run on three hits, no walks, a record 12 strikeouts. And man, the way he walked off the mound at the end of the seventh, well, it's a World Series masterpiece ending, right?
Ground ball to third, to second one, to first for two. You asked, he delivered, and he is walking off the field with his defense.
What a way to walk off. He's tremendous. That's all I can think of. Tremendous. Wow. Again, not a huge ball fan. Loving this Blue Jays run. It's pretty historic. And now a couple of cracks at winning it at home. Starting tomorrow night, you'll hear it here on 980 CJME. So many of you thankful that you can listen to the game, and you'll be thankful tomorrow night. It's Halloween, right? And walking the trick-or-treaters around, at least you can listen to the game starting at 6 here, too. Staying cool for Halloween. Saturday, sunny and warmer into the double digits, at least. And I've got a few more leaves to rake. In fact, I've done it a couple of times already in the last few weeks, but with it being sunny and a little warmer Saturday, I'll do what I hope is the last round. But while I'm talking about leaves and raking, this falls into the category of neighbor no-nos, if you will, please. Yes, I'm afraid it's that time of year. The leaves have fallen, the air is crisp, and there's that one neighbor who emerges from the garage on a Saturday morning wielding his sacred weapon. I call it Leaf Blower of Laziness. Yes, you know the type, instead of raking by hand, they're blowing their leaves into the street. Like, be free, little leaves. Find a better home.
How dare you? The audacity. The unmitigated gall.
Exactly. Recently, I watched this neighbor blow every leaf from his yard onto the road, which, with the help of the wind, immediately blew into his neighbor's yard. Some of them even settled into the local storm drain. Like, there's got to be a special place in hell for these people, right? Maybe they're eternally trapped in a wind tunnel full of their own leaves, and every time they think they've cleared them, more fall, and it just never stops.
No!
Yeah, like how pompous do you have to be to think it's your right to not rake? Like, oh, I don't clean, I redistribute nature. Buddy, you're not landscaping. You know what you are? You're leaf laundering. Yes, leaf laundering. So here's what I propose. Next time you see a neighbor doing this, fire up your own leaf blower. Wait till they're inside and blow them right back into their own yard. Yeah. Yeah, like a Western standoff. Leaf justice. Okay, wait a minute. Could lead to a conflict. So better yet, how about community service? If you're ever caught blowing your leaves into the street, you'll get one full day of raking at a park, maybe where there are kids running by yelling, "Hey, you missed a spot, mister!" Because maybe then you'd finally realize raking your own leaves builds character. It's humbling. It's grounding. And it keeps your neighbors from starting a Facebook war with your address attached. So to all you out there blowing your leaves into traffic this Saturday morning, do us all a favor. Grab a rake. Or at least a conscience. How about you? Do you have a neighbor no-no story to share? Text me, 1-877-300-7275. I can't be the only one. And remember, you can even use your iPhone and record a voice memo and then text that to me. It's easier to dictate, perhaps, instead of texting yourself on the morning drive. If you have a similar story to share, text it 1-877-300-7275. Pretty good so far.
I was going to say, got that part right.
Okay, but no, just hang in there.
Patriot love that only us command.
Oh. You were upset when that Sax did it the other night. I am too. I don't know why they do this.
I don't know either. And, you know, I'll be honest. I didn't see or watch the national anthem part of the game last night. I came in after that had happened, but my phone blew up with people going, did you hear that?
Rufus Wainwright, who is originally, I think he was born in Montreal.
Yeah.
But, you know, judging from the reaction previously,
yeah,
you think he would have caught on.
You know what they need, and I think you talked about this yesterday, is like you don't even need an incredible singer to sing the whole song. Bring in an icon and let them lead the national
anthem. Yeah, I said it's Anne-Marie.
Yeah, well, good. That's a good one right there. But think about, you know, being in Edmonton, for example, at those hockey games that we went to, the crowd singing the national anthem.
And then they just turn the mic over.
Exactly. Just do that.
Yes.
I think Toronto in games one and two did it in such a classy way, how they did them, both national anthems. I trust they will respond accordingly.
So what do you think? They got a couple of cracks at winning the World Series now. Is it Yamamoto tomorrow?
Yeah, Yamamoto's tough, Cosman. Right? We know that. We know that.
So you don't think it's going to happen tomorrow? You think it's going to be in seven like I did?
I'm with you on seven. I mean, the Dodgers aren't going to want to roll over. We know that. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. Be great to win in six, but I'm predicting seven.
Okay, Evan. Well, from the World Series, we go to what's coming up on your show here today.
We've got lots of different things. So Tasha Carradine, who's been on our program before, is a political columnist for the National Post. She's done lots of writing about strategy around how Mark Carney should be approaching things. She just had an article in the National Post this week saying Mark Carney shouldn't snuggle up too close to China. Just weather the storm with Trump is basically her philosophy. So she's going to join the show at 8:30. We'll have a good chat with her. And then we've got a tariff roundtable at 10.
I'm really curious as to how much of a conversation Trump tried to have with China about, okay, Carney's going to come here and try to threaten China about not dealing with Canada. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I guess it's possible. You got to think there's a lot of backroom stuff going on between the two. I mean, both Carney and Trump making it look like they've got a good working relationship with China right now, when behind scenes, Trump, does a lot to restrict China's invasion into the United States for goods and materials.
Well, and just to lighten things up on your show, I know we're one sleep away from Halloween, and you're going to trick-or-treat with your grandchildren tomorrow night.
Yes, that's right.
Let me just say, this is an unbelievable show of grandparent love.
Thank you.
You're driving to Saskatoon tomorrow. Yes.
To go trick-or-treating.
With the kids.
With the 4- and 1-year-old grandsons.
Probably stay watch the game, and then you're going to drive back from Saskatoon because you have a commitment on Saturday morning. So
that's right.
That's an extraordinary...
Halloween's important for these youngsters, and I predict... I mean, the 1-year-old probably won't last out there too long if it's cold, but the 4-year-old, he's going to want to fill that sack with candy.
Nice. You can listen to the game right here.
I know.
On CJME, right?
But I think it'll be... Yeah, it's going to be a cool night tomorrow, but fun.
Okay. All right. But you are also going to have some Halloween fun today on the show.
That's right. So there's lots of different, number one, properties in the community that are decorated for Halloween, but there's also some good scare houses. And there's one in Uplands that's been running now for the better part of a decade. They raise money. You actually donate money to go into the scare house. They raise money for Bright Eyes Dog Rescue. It's called Spicer's Scare House.
Yeah.
And I've got Riley Spicer, who was as a 10-year-old in the family, was the one that came up with the idea. What do you mean? You don't like scare houses?
Not Riley. I like Riley. No, I just don't know.
You don't want to be scared?
No.
Well, Greg,
I don't think anyone jumping out at me at my age is a good thing.
I think you and I should go tonight. It's open tonight.
They
have 21 actors and actresses involved in this scare house.
Yeah, that's not for me.
It'll be fun, Greg.
Well, do you know CPR? I'll go with you if you can promise you know how to start my heart.
I will carry you through the scare house.
Evan Bray back at 8:30.